All right. Open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh boy. I grabbed the wrong Bible. I just have to be real careful. This Bible is so wore out. Tell one good sneeze and I could lose 10 pages. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Says, "To whom God would make known that is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, we're going to be talking about, there's basically four different stages that you'll find mankind and Christians in. But what we need to understand is we have these earthen vessels. And we're always going to be tied to the flesh. You know, Paul said he had to work at keeping under the flesh. He had to keep the flesh beat down. If Paul had to work at it, how much more are we going to have to work at it? See, we're always tied to the flesh. We can't get away from it. So it's always going to be something that we're always going to be fighting. But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's how we win. It's Christ in us. Now, in this adventure we're going to go through in these four different stages, every honest Christian will find themselves in three of those. A Christian won't find himself in the first one. If any of you identify with the first one, let me know so we can take care of it. Okay? You'll understand more. When I talk about it here, the growth in the Christian life is not automatic. People need to understand this. Growth in the Christian life is not automatic. Redemption is a messy process. It's the result of believing God's word, yielding to the Spirit, and walking in truth. You know, it's irritating when somebody gets born again, and somebody who maybe has been going for a long time tells them that they got to have their act together immediately. That's crazy. That is crazy. You can't expect somebody to come right out of the world, get born again, and then just poof. He's just wonderful. That's not the way it works. It takes a cleaning up process. You know, God gave me the best visualization of this. He said, "Have you ever caught a clean fish?" Nope. Every fish I ever caught, got him out of the water, had to clean him out, had to scale him, had to wash him, had to defend him. There's a lot of things had to happen to that fish before he could be usable. Amen? Before he was fit for the skillet. People are the same way. They get born again. Praise God they got born again. They're a mess. Did you know that? When you get born again, your spirit gets born again. You're attached to your soul that has spent a lifetime picking up false information, bad ideas, poor direction. But it can be changed by the Word of God. You know, there is a washing of the water of the Word of God. Believing God's Word, yielding to the Spirit, and walking in truth. You know, when you get born again, you're not going to know everything. Did you know people that have been born again and studying the Bible for 80 years don't know everything? We can't expect born again new believers to know everything. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." Their one light is they're born again. That's a great light. Let them shine that light and encourage them in that light. But don't pour water on them because they made a mistake over here in this other area. Encourage them in the light that they have. You know? Now, there's basically four spiritual conditions found in mankind and believers. We'll talk about the first one, the natural man. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, this person needs salvation. Christians are not going to find themselves in that verse. These people can be religious. They can be moral. They can be sincere, but without Christ. You have to realize that there are churchgoers and there are believers in Christ, and they are not the same. There are people that sit in church every Sunday for 40 years that are not born again. Glenn Smith went to a pastor's conference, and you would think that these guys had it together. He got about 10, 15, or 20 of them born again. You can literally go to 15 years of seminary and not get born again. See, if the word, if salvation is not preached in your church, the chances of you born again are slim to none. Traditions of men, on the other hand, reign supreme in a lot of places. You know, somebody has a good idea, we'll try that, we'll do that. You know, you can, there's some people think they're okay if they got water poured on their head. There's some people think they're okay because they got baptized as a baby. I had a lady tell me one time she's a Christian because she was born in America. Okay, see, these are false doctrines. And they need to know Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10. They need to know that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe that God raised him back to life, you shall be saved. That's the one way to the Father, is through the Son, and it's your belief that God raised him back to life, and it's your confession with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion in the world about how to get to heaven. And it shouldn't be, because God made it so simple. Two verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with your mouth that confession is made unto salvation. I don't know why people don't follow the directions. But the doctrines of men the doctrines of their church or the doctrines of their denomination will outweigh what the doctrine of Jesus Christ said. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, this person needs salvation. He's not going to understand. He's not going to understand the things of Christ. I know that each one of you have talked to somebody and you tell them something about Jesus or tell them about Scripture, and it seemed like it bounced right off their forehead and came right back to you because they can't understand it. But then once they get that life of Christ inside of them, they get born again, they get turned on, now they start learning and they can start understanding. And there's a lot of people that know a lot of Scripture. They have it memorized. They have it memorized by heart. They have it memorized by mind, but they don't have it in their heart. Let's look at the next one, called the babe in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul was talking to these guys. He said, "My brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He couldn't talk to these people about the full-grown things in the Bible. He had to talk to them about the very basics of stuff, the new stuff. See, a new believer, and sometimes long-time churchgoers, there are people that have been born again for 30, 40 years that are still babes in Christ. They need foundation. They need doctrine. They need discipleship. See, this stage is normal. This stage is normal, but it's not meant to be permanent. Growth must follow. You know, there is however much time you decide you want to spend in the Bible and learning from Jesus and getting His words in you and learning these fundamentals of the gospel of Jesus Christ, learning the fundamentals of how to live in the Bible and live these ways and operate in this kingdom, that's going to determine your growth, your spiritual growth. Now, it's not going to come by osmosis. You know, just because you show up and go to church, I mean, that doesn't mean that it's just going to make you what you need to be in Christ. See, this is a participation event. Now, it's important to go to church and learn, and go there and learn. Man, I learned a lot from my pastor. But I also had to get that Bible in my own lap and read it, get His word in me, and learn how to operate in this. See, here's the thing. Every Christian, every single one of us, has these little comfort zones. When we get born again, you know, maybe our little world is kind of small. But God wants us to expand in that. He wants us to get another light, which is another revelation in His Word. So we got to learn something new. See, this is where a lot of people have a struggle. They get born again, praise God. But then all of a sudden they learn something new in the Word of God that attacks their flesh. And then now they got a decision. What are we going to do about this? Are we going to go ahead and get a revelation about this and walk forward? Or are we going to camp and remain a baby in Christ? A lot of people choose to remain babes in Christ. But a lot of people like to go ahead and poke that bubble, step out there and find the next thing, go find the next thing. You know, they finally realized that, you know, a lot of the things that they learned in the world and a lot of the things that they have attached to them are not correct. So then they matched it up with what the Word of God says, and they said, okay, I don't like this thing. So they trade it in for what God has for them. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes you really have to have a fight with your flesh, and sometimes you have to fight with your soul. But the Bible does tell us to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. See how redemption can be a messy process. You know, praise God, we got born again. Now we got to get cleaned up. You know, we got to relearn some things. We got to learn a whole new system. I don't know if you ever noticed, but not everything that you ever got taught in school was the truth. It may be a fact, but it's not the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. A lot of the things that we learn in the world are not correct according to the Word of God. Now, you may be able to get away with it legally, according to man's laws, but spiritually, it's not correct. Let's look at our next one here. The carnal Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" See, Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church. And these guys were a mess. If you really study this out, you'll find out that these guys were a wreck. These guys would get kicked out of almost every single church in America today. But we don't kill our wounded here. We try to learn from what Paul said. See, what did Paul do with the Corinthian church? He started reminding them of who they were in Christ. He started reminding them, said, look, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. He was talking to them, telling them who they were. Did you know that you can't find in the book of Corinthians anywhere that Paul kicked anybody out of the church? How about that? These guys were getting drunk in church. They were sleeping with temple prostitutes. They were doing all kinds of wrong things. I'll tell you something else. This really bugs the religious people. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were operating in miracles. Ah, man, that bugs people bad. Why? Because they weren't believing in their own works. They were believing in Christ. They're putting their faith in Him. But, see, they had a cleaning process they had to go through. They had that redemption process that they had to go through. Thank God they were born again. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were doing some cool stuff. But there were some things that God had to get washed off of them. See, they still had some attachments to the world. They still had some attachments to the old religious system. They still had some old ideas that they were operating in. And it took a little bit to get that cleaned off. See, even Peter did a notable miracle. A man that sat at this door at the temple, lame in his feet for 30-some years. You know, Jesus walked by that guy. But one day, Peter, on his way to temple worship, (laughs) Do you see? Even Peter had to go through this cleaning process. He was on his way to the temple to worship. And he seen this guy and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the guy got up, healed, took off. Jesus, Peter did a notable miracle on his way to temple worship. It takes a little while. People don't just get born again, jump in the water, and poof, they're a wonderful Christian. They get born again, they get in the water, they get baptized, they may even receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're still a mess. They still have carnality, and I'll tell you what, every single Christian on the face of this earth, if they're honest, has some carnality tied to them still. I don't care how long they've been in church, there's still something that they're still attached to or have a fondness for that they still have to fight with. Paul had to. And Paul knew more than all of us put together. And he had to fight the flesh. See, a carnal Christian is a believer. He lives like the world, but he's not walking in the Spirit. He's easily influenced. He's easily deceived. And he's easily discouraged. See, this is a dangerous stage because carnality brings confusion, instability, and compromise. See, there's a lot of carnal Christians running around. Some of them are full-blown carnal. Some of them maybe just a touch. Some of them you can't hardly see a hint of it. But it's still there. There's still things where we're not led by the Spirit. You know, there's still things the Spirit may tell us not to do something, but man, that chocolate cake tastes so good. I'm going to eat it anyway. I know I'm going to pay the price for it later. See, Christians have a touch of carnality regardless. It may be pride. It may be self-righteousness. That's carnality. Every Christian has a touch of carnality attached to them because we have these earthen vessels that are attached to the flesh. And there's only one man who has ever completely 100% mastered the flesh, and his name is Jesus. Amen. But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's how we get our victory. And don't worry, don't fall for that religious notion that says you fall into sin, because the Bible tells us where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you fall into anything, you fall into grace. See, there, a guy told me, he said, you could fall from grace. No. If you do anything, you fall into grace. See, grace and truth came, and his name is Jesus. Now, that doesn't give you a license to go be an idiot, but it does give you some encouragement when there's something that you're fighting with in the flesh and you're having a hard time with it, and you've made a mistake over and over and over again. You still have Christ to cling to, and he will still win the victory for you. See, I had a guy tell me one time, I said, how can you, this was a word of faith preacher. I said, how many times are you going to make a mistake? And he said, eventually God's going to get tired of you and you'll fall from grace. You know what Jesus said? Somebody came up to him and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? And Jesus said, 70 times 7 in a day. 1 John 1:7 tells us that we have a waterfall of forgiveness. We have a waterfall of forgiveness. Basically, it says the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's a waterfall of forgiveness. Religion makes it really, really hard on mankind. Jesus made it as simple for us as he could. You know, he talked to sheep herders about herding sheep. He talked to carpenters about building stuff. He talked to fishermen about catching fish and farmers about sowing seed. He talked to us, not in Queen's English, basic one-on-one fellowship. And that's how he still does it today. You know, he told us, run to him. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more we learn of Jesus, the more like him we're going to be. You're not going to be perfect, but you can grow. Yeah. Yep. Let's look at the next man, the spiritual man. We'll find him in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, we run across a lot of things, and we run across a lot of ideas. And I don't remember the number, but somebody threw out some kind of a statistic one time, the how many choices that we have to make in a day. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of choices. You know, we're making choices all day, every day. We have to choose this or choose that or choose over here or choose this or choose this, choose that. We make a lot of decisions. That means we have to make a lot of judgment calls. You know, we have to see things and look at it, and we have to make some kind of a judgment on it before we choose, don't we? That's why we have to pay attention to what we're looking at, pay attention to what we're seeing. You know, one of the things, I'm really glad this is coming out, but symbols, that the evil people, they've had these symbols that they've used them all over the world. Our world is completely covered over with these symbols that these evil people use. And most people are not privy to these symbols at all. They have no idea what these mean. All the way from Walt Disney, all the way to the food we eat, there's symbols. And these symbols are all over. We need to have discernment. We need to, you know, people don't want to learn anything about these things because they're all wrapped up in Jesus, which is fine. But also, it's okay for you to know something about your enemy. You know, when they started advertising on TV, Obama had a pizza party. And people were just screaming up and down, why is he spending so much money on the pizza? It was nothing about the pizza. It was about human trafficking. Had nothing to do with food. It was sexual predators. So this is what I'm talking about. People need to wake up and see what's going on in the world around them. When they finally understand that there has been an evil system for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that has been trying to take control of us, and right here, right now, we're on the verge of breaking free from it. It'll help a lot. See, this believer, he walks in truth. He discerns deception. He loves Scripture. He yields to the Holy Spirit. They are grounded, fruitful and stable. They're not perfect, but they're growing in Christ. See, there's always times when we miss it on discernment, isn't there? Sometimes we think, well, this is right and it's wrong. Sometimes we think this is wrong and it's right. Sometimes we don't yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, we all miss it. We all miss it. We have a touch of that carnality attached to us. Imagine that. We all miss it at some point. We all miss it every day in some ways. Maybe we may not blow it on the big ones, but there's little things sometimes we miss it on. But we're growing in Christ, and we're learning to keep the three laws of the New Testament. Laws of the New Testament. Wow, about that. I thought we were redeemed from the law. You know, there's three laws identified in the New Testament that we are told to keep, that we need to keep in order to keep growing and keep going forward, keep learning about Jesus and keep expanding His kingdom. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." You know, there's a lot of people running around saying we got to keep the law. You know, you'll fail if you keep the law. But if you walk in love, you're not going to break the law. See that? You walk in love, you're not going to be a lawbreaker. But if you do, when you do miss the mark, we have our advocate Jesus, who has already set us free from the curse of the law. Amen? The next part of that is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right there says all the law. All of the law is fulfilled in that one thing. You know, Jesus, he got after the religious people one time. He said, you guys go to the ends of the earth to get one proselyte. And then you get him here, and then you add more stuff onto him than he can bear, and you don't even keep it. Thank God that went away, huh? It didn't. It didn't go away. It didn't go away. He can go to any number of places, and they'll tell you you are saved by grace. And then here's these five things that you must do in order to get to heaven. Here's these 10 things that you must do in order to go to heaven. Did I get saved by grace or not? Amen? My all-time favorite one was one guy told me, he said, "You have to be a Mason in order to go to heaven." I thought, wow. He also threw in, I had to be in the volunteer fire department too. I didn't know much, but I knew that wasn't right. But look, don't add rules and regulations to newborn Christians. Add the things of Jesus to him. Remember, tell him something good, like, "Hey, man, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit." Help him develop a new light. He already knows he made a mistake. Heck, he knew he made three mistakes before he, between he getting out of bed and going to the bathroom. He already knew he made those mistakes. He doesn't need you to remind him. What he does need you to remind him of is that he's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's encouragement. That builds people up. That gets people excited. You know, when people find out they've done something right, they get excited about it. They want to do another thing right. So we got the law of love. Now let's look at James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. This whole chapter is going to fall out of my Bible if I move right. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We have a law of liberty. See, when we get born again, we get set free from the law. James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that perfect law of liberty, you get set free. See, this is one of the things that got the Galatians in trouble. See, the Galatians got born again. They got the life of the Spirit in Christ. They got set free from the law of sin and death. And then all of a sudden they decided that they'd pick up the law. And Paul actually said, "Who has bewitched you?" See, he got after those guys. He encouraged the Corinthian church. He encouraged them in the things that they were in Christ Jesus. He built them up, tried to get them to move forward. He got after the guys in Galatians. He got after those guys, said, "You started off in the Spirit, and then you picked up the law? Well, we're a New Testament church. We don't do that." Baloney! Baloney. I run into it all the time. It's constant. It never ends. It never ends. Well, you got to have obedience, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Baloney. Jesus was obedient to the point to the cross. Now, I learn of him. Amen? Don't put undue pressure on people. They will fail. Encouragement is how Paul got people to move forward. Look at James chapter 2, verse 12. James chapter 2, verse 12. "So speak ye and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." See, we do have this law of liberty. We are not judged by the Old Testament law. We've already been judged. See, you've already been judged. Why can I say that? Because when God raised Jesus back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, you got justified freely by his grace. Now, you cannot be justified until you've first been judged. You're walking around a free man. A lot of people live their lives in chains. They don't know that they've got the key in their hand. You've been set free in Christ Jesus. Live in that law of liberty. Our next law is the law of faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. We'll finish up with this. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know, the Bible lets us know that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our righteousness is wrapped up in him. You know how that really happened? That's covenant talk. That's old covenant talk. See, when people made a covenant, they'd take their clothing and trade their clothing. That happened with us when we got born again. When we got born again, God took our filthy, unrighteous clothing away from us and put robes of righteousness on us. You've been clothed with the robe of righteousness. Now your righteousness is of him. You cannot earn righteousness. You can't. Now, there's a false teaching out there that says righteousness is right doing. See, if you do right, they make it sound like if you do right, you'll be more righteous. Now, guess what, honey? You're as righteous as you're ever going to be the day you get born again. Now, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you go do right things. But you don't go do right things trying to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It won't work that way. And you got to understand, righteousness means this. In right standing. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's why Paul said you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You ain't the same anymore. Now, you may have a lot of learning to do. But it can be done. Now, there's people watch these videos all over the place. I run into them from time to time, different places in this nation. And maybe somebody that listening isn't born again yet, and they need to be. And sometimes believers need practice saying this so they can witness to somebody else get them born again. So let's just, everybody bow their head and close their eyes. We bow our head out of reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect for our neighbor, because it's between God and that person. If you would like to be born again, this is how you do it. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess Jesus to be Lord. You can say this simple prayer with me to make this happen. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. You just said that, you are born again. Keep going forward in the word of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have coffee and...